Nobel Prize-winning theologian and surgeon, Albert Schweitzer, said, "There are only three ways to teach a child. The first is by example. The second is by example. The third is by example." Welcome in. This is Religionless Christianity. I am your host, Spencer. This is my favorite person, Nikki. And today we are talking about basically part two on our discussion about discipleship. So before we dive in, baby, do you have anything you want to say?
Yes. We have a sermon up on our Discord channel. It's about the book of Judges. And we just like if you guys subscribe to this channel. And if you have any prayer requests, please put those up there too.
Yep. And it's not entirely about the book of Judges, but he does go over Judges 21:25, which is why we started this channel. So it was very important to us. So go give that a listen. It's from a great pastor that we have gone to his church here in New Mexico. Give that a listen. And then please throw your prayer requests, praise reports up on there as well. We want to rejoice with you. So before we dive in, baby, do you want to just give a quick recap about the things we talked about in episode one?
Yeah, in episode one, we talked about what the ancient Hebrews, what a disciple was then, and compared that to what Jesus taught that it was. And we went over how in the churches in America, how there's a lack of discipleship going on, and the importance of getting that back in the churches. And how Bonhoeffer talked about we disciple because it's joy to disciple.
Yep, definitely. Obviously, we're called to disciple, but there should be joy in your discipleship. Yep. So that was kind of part one, just looking at sort of what is this thing of discipleship. And then today we're going to talk about sort of the disciple maker, you know, the person who is doing the discipling. That's kind of the idea of this show. And then stick around for Friday's episode, part three, where we look at being discipled and, you know, kind of how that should happen. So,
yeah, I think that's a little bit harder.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard for everybody. Everybody wants to be the leader. No one wants to be led, right? So that one will be a good episode. Make sure you, like she said, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell notification so you don't miss it. And then if you're on the podcast, just stay tuned. And I think that'll be a good discussion. So today, like she said, we're talking about the disciple maker.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to make sort of the first point on this is this idea that everyone is called to disciple or to be a disciple maker. You know, we made the point in the first episode that there is no like four-step plan where like you're an unbeliever, then you're a Christian, then you get discipled, right, then you're a disciple maker. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you're an unbeliever, then you become a Christian, a discipler, and a disciple all in the same step. So everyone is called to be a disciple. Yeah. You know, this is the Great Commission, right? This is what Jesus leaves us with. So if you want to read the Great Commission.
Yes, he says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe it, to follow it, all that he has commanded.
Yeah, all he doesn't say go and save people in every nation or go and preach the gospel. He says go and make disciples of all nations.
That's what we get hung up on, is just preaching the gospel. We're all called to preach the gospel, but we seldom hear make disciples. Like, you don't just get people saved and then just leave them on their own. Like, what you know you need to teach them. If you're doing what Jesus did, you're being a teacher. You're not just, I got them saved, all right, I'm gonna go do my own thing now. That's
Yeah, and this doesn't mean that you don't have another calling on your life. You know, if you feel like you're called to be a pastor, or you have the gift of prophecy and you're supposed to be a prophet, like those are all in addition to discipling. Yeah. So if you're a pastor, you're a pastor and disciple maker. Mm-hmm. If you're a prophet, you're a prophet and disciple maker. So the disciple piece is essential. That is the way that this Christian like cake is baked, is through discipleship. It's not, you know, the way it was in the Old Testament where God was leading them, you know, in a cloud of fire. So everyone could just see like, oh, well, there's God. It's easy to understand. Mm-hmm. We like disciple making is Jesus's method of spreading Christianity.
Like we already know there's a bad way people are being discipled already, just with the lukewarm gospel that's preached, that just get saved. But, you know, Jesus understands we're never going to be perfect. So don't worry about it. Just hold on to that grace. And that's all that people are being taught. Like, okay. And if we don't change it up and follow everything that Jesus said to observe, we're going to completely lose the teaching of Jesus unless people don't get into, unless they get into the word themselves, which is what we also need to get back to.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely need to get back to the word. And the thing that you'll find when you get into the word is it's laid out for you. I mean, like we just read the Great Commission, they tell you, Jesus tells you what to do. And, you know, the Apostle Paul tells us even how to do it. So it's not even something that we need to come up with on our own. The blueprint has been laid. So we pulled this from, Romans 10. So if you want to read this from Romans 10, honey.
Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And that's really like the step-by-step, like we're supposed to be doing the preaching and the teaching.
Yeah, like this is literally Apostle Paul's four-step plan for disciple making. He literally says, step one is you share your testimony. You find someone, you share your testimony. Step two is if their faith is stirred, you lead them in a prayer of salvation, right? Mm-hmm. Step three, after they're saved, you sort of teach them this full breadth of the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And then step four is you send them out to do the same thing you just did for them.
Yeah.
Like that is the process that
they should know how to do it by watching you do it for them. Like if you're following someone, then others can follow you as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way Jesus did it. So that's kind of the first point. Like mm-hmm. everyone is called onto this path. Like you might get off on another path, or your path may lead you somewhere different, but it's always a branch from this disciple making path. And the point two that we wanted to make here is that discipleship is a call to action. So, you know, our sort of namesake, what this podcast is named after, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I pulled this quote from this book. I've referenced it before. Eric Metaxas' biography on Bonhoeffer. It'll be linked in the description again. Please go and read it. Bonhoeffer is an amazing man. But Bonhoeffer made this point in a letter that he wrote from the Tegel prison, you know, after he'd been arrested by the Nazis. And he said it like this. He said, "Mere waiting and looking on is not Christian behavior. The Christian is called to sympathy and action, not in the first place by his own suffering, but by the suffering of his brethren mm-hmm. for whose sake Christ suffered." So if you call yourself a Christian, you have taken up a religion of action. And that should be important to you. You know, even Paul, you know, when you go on and you read Romans 10:14, if you continue on with that, he mm-hmm. goes on to say, if you want to read it.
Oh, yeah, I have it up here. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news."
Yeah, like in another version, the one that I pulled, it says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And that word "bring" is an action word. Like mm-hmm. if you're bringing something to someone, you're taking it to them, right? Like you're going to them to give it to you. They're not coming to you to get it. So that's an action word. How beautiful it is if you bring them this good news.
They don't even know what they need to ask for. They're not going to come to you for something that they're clueless about. They don't know they need it.
No, and we don't even see this. I mean, obviously all of discipleship is a reflection of what Jesus was on this earth. That's what we try to teach. And Jesus was a man of action, right? He didn't just sit around in his synagogue and wait for people to stumble in and go, oh, I'd love to learn what you're learning. Like, that was a big difference between the ancient Hebrew and Jesus.
The people came into the teachers, but Jesus just said, follow me. And so they watched him do things and heard him speak parables. And that's something they never got from the teachers and the Pharisees, is all these deep parables. And
Do you want to read Matthew 4:18?
Okay. Yeah. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Like, he didn't say, follow me to the synagogue so you can hear the Pharisees teach. Like, and that's what we do nowadays, is my point, is we think all we got to do is invite people to church, and then we never disciple them. We're just like, oh, get in the door, and we'll just leave it up to the pastor to disciple them. And we're probably not even thinking disciple. We're just like, just keep them in church, and, you know, they'll get it eventually. And then we just leave them.
Yeah, and this, you know, it starts by saying Jesus was out walking by the sea. Like, he was out. And obviously, if you read through it, you can come to the realization that Jesus was out on this sea for a reason. And it was obviously to call these men. But he was out amongst the people, seeking these people out. Like she said, he wasn't just sitting around waiting for them to come in, or, you know, he wasn't going down and be like, hey, there's a good teacher right over there. Like, let's go to the synagogue and listen to him. Like, Jesus was actively, and all throughout the Bible and all throughout Jesus's life, he's out amongst the people in the crowd. He's going from town to town. He's not having a revival in his hometown where everyone's got to fly in and bus in.
He's demonstrating, like, how to love people and forgive people. And that's something the people weren't going to get by going into the temple. And he was just demonstrating the deeper things of scripture. You know, it wasn't a burden. He wasn't putting the people under a burden like the Pharisees would.
Yeah. And that's, like, been a complete mind. I mean, we go to a church now that does, like, door-to-door outreach. Obviously, if you've been on our Facebook channel or on our Facebook page, you've seen some of the videos when we get back from our outreaches. And, like, it's weird. And, like, even people in our own town are, like, weirded out by the fact that every week, multiple times a week, our church is out knocking on doors, going to stores and handing out flyers and talking
just
to people.
Just praying with people. It's, and, like, for the gospel,
it's
too.
It's weird. But, like, here's Jesus again. That's our example. Get out where the people are.
Yeah.
Because the lost people that you need to find aren't in church.
Yeah.
They're in the world, man. You got to go find them. So that's kind of point two. And then the third point here that we wanted to make on this idea of you are called to be a disciple maker. Mm-hmm. And the point is your life righteous enough to claim, as the Apostle Paul claimed, where he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Is your life holy and righteous enough where you can
talk to people? I've never heard anybody say that. Like,
and obviously nobody is, right? We can't say, I'm just like Jesus, so watch me. But it should be that goal and that burden that you place on yourself as a Christ follower to get your life as right and as pure as you can, that when people see you, they're seeing sort of this image.
But you can't be like, imitate me every day of the week, except Fridays when I go out with the guys. Or I go out with the girls on Friday. Would you want a new believer telling them to imitate you? Like, you need to be consistent in your walk. You don't get to have a cheat day of being a Christian and being a disciple maker.
Yeah. And, you know, because we talked about this in episode one, where when Jesus came on the scene, this idea of discipleship changed to where you're no longer teaching my theology and my traditions and my way. Mm-hmm. All of discipleship is about teaching Jesus's theology, Jesus's traditions, his ways. And like she mentioned, you know, could you, you know, take this new disciple, this new follower that you've maybe led to the Lord and now you're helping him grow, you know, could you have him with you in the mornings when you wake up and in the evenings when you go to bed? You know, could he be there you know, when you're with your friends, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, and watch you and learn? Could he look at what you're looking at on the computer, right?
Yeah,
could
there are moments where you wouldn't want that new believer around. You need to reevaluate your walk with the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. You're supposed to be teaching them what it looks like to be like Christ, because that's what, you know, the idea of a Christian is, we're trying to be like Christ. So, you know, and this, as we were pondering this, like, to me, this is basically that lack of discipleship that is almost, or it is in the process of ruining the American church, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's like, you know, our lives are supposed to be, like I said, disciple makers, but I think, like, we're so personally screwed up in not following the path that we're supposed to be following, you know, that we can't, like, we can't possibly even let people inside to actually see what we look like. You know, we put on a show for people, you know, our best life now on Facebook and stuff, because we don't want them to know that truthfully we're a phony for the most part. You know, most Christians are phonies. I mean, we've read through numbers on this show, the stats. I mean, the idea that most of America is a Christian nation is just flat out wrong. It's not. You know, so you're kind of presented with two choices when it comes to this discipleship thing. And you can either keep everyone at arm's length and sort of only show them what you want to show them, or you can surrender your life to Christ and you can allow him to sort of make you holy so that you can, you know, grab the brothers and sisters around you and start to lead them in the way they're supposed to go. And you know, it's not obviously easy, right? Or other people would be doing it.
It's really humbling yourself too. And I don't know, part of being a disciple maker, like, would you want to go to the person you just, you know, converted to Christianity and confess your sins to them? Or would that be something you look up to your person who disciples you and do that?
Yeah, I mean, you should want to. You know, they should be that model of, you know, like, Christ-like. I mean, if you're willing to go and take your sins and your shortcomings to Jesus in prayer and stuff, I mean, that's why we're supposed to be held accountable to other people. I mean, you should have somebody in your life, and we'll get into that more in the disciple, being discipled episode. But yeah, you should have that. And I don't know how many of us do, but we should be looking for it. And then kind of this last thing is, or this last idea on point three here, is that being a disciple maker is being a leader. They're sort of the same thing. You're leading people in the faith. And, you know, just when I was kind of thinking about this leadership idea, is that, you know, when you're being, when you are a leader, generally, you know, for the most part, whatever you're leading in, basically half the people are going to hate you. Half the people are going to love you in anything that you do. If you're a real leader, you know, you can be a people pleaser and everyone loves you. But if you're a real leader, you have to make decisions. You have to do things that most people aren't going to like. And then, you know, the Bible even tells us that if you are a Christ follower, the world's going to hate you already. So you already have the world hating you. And then half the believers are probably going to hate you too. So you have to be comfortable with this idea that you're not going to always be making people happy. I mean, Jesus wasn't. You know, how many times did he tell him, you know, ye of little faith? Like, he was constantly, you know, riling up the Pharisees, half the religious people. I mean, most of the religious people in his time didn't like him, obviously.
No, yeah. So, like, if Jesus was crucified, like, why do we think it's going to be easy for us? If we're following him, we should expect to go through trials and be hated. Why would we get away with it?
Yeah, so you can't be paralyzed by this idea of making people happy or keeping people happy when you're a disciple maker. You do what's right according to the Bible, and you sort of let the chips fall where they may. That doesn't mean you just, you know, you get in that thing where people are like, I just tell it like it is. Like, no, that's
but
not.
But in love. They forget the in love
part.
You
walk in love and in Christ, you know, but if it shakes some people up, then it shakes them up. So as we get close to the end here, I just want to make this last point here. Point four that we had was, what does discipleship look like? And we wanted to look at sort of how you should be discipling, in a sense. And the big thing here is that you're teaching God's word, and not just teaching it, but how to apply it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't just teach it and apply it in some theoretical, you know, lofty ideas, but in a real world application, because that's what Jesus did, right? Like, when Jesus, he had his disciples with him when he was feeding the 5,000, mm-hmm. you know, they were with him and they watched him sort of defend and also define this faith to the Pharisees. And they were with him when he showed, you know, love and compassion, healing the sick people. And they were even with him when he showed, you know, like where he went for strength during his times of weakness.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like some Sunday sermon that they went to, or like he put out a meme on Facebook. Like, they were with him and they watched him in his daily life.
They saw him when his flesh was weak, where he like wanted to, you know, in his flesh, he probably wanted to give up, you know, he had to go and pray and be refreshed, renewed. He got weary too. And his disciples got to see that side of him.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, this idea of discipleship is they're literally with you. Like, this isn't just theoretical. Yeah. They are literally with you. And because they're with you, they're going to see the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
And they're going to see the way that you handle that as a man or a woman of God. And that's important. And the second thing that you would do if you're discipling is you correct them when they're wrong. You know, if you correct your disciples when they're wrong. And if you want to read Luke 9:46-48.
An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, knowing the reasoning of their hearts, took a child and put him by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the one who is great."
Yeah, and this is just one example. I mean, there's tons of examples of Jesus correcting, but yeah, so here's all of his disciples like, "Oh, I'm the greatest because mm-hmm. I do this. I'm the greatest because I did this." And Jesus walks in and he's like, "You fools, like, no, here's the truth. If you want to be great, you are the least." You know, he tells them other places that, you know, you have to be a servant or a slave to be the great, you know, the greatest. So if you're going to be a disciple maker, you're going to have to be comfortable with correction, because you're discipling people who don't know the faith yet, right?
Yeah, so, you can't be that people pleaser to the one you're discipling.
Yeah, so that's kind of point number two here. And then the last one we wanted to leave you with as we get ready to wrap this up is that you need to encourage them and build their faith. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to read John 14:12-14.
"Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it."
Yeah, so you're constantly building this encouragement that, like, hey, like, you know, whatever I've taught you, you're going to do this. You know, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to preach, and you're going to knock on doors. You're going to get people saved. You're like, you know, that's just a simple example, but it's that constant building up. You're going to correct. It's like you do with the kid, right? Kind of like the "I love you" sandwich or whatever. Like, "I love you. You really screwed up here. I love you." You know, like,
I've never heard
because that's the way, like, you don't want to just constantly be correcting and crushing people. And I get in trouble with this with my own kids. I'm probably a bit too harsh on them, but that's the idea, is that you're constantly building this faith up, and then you teach them where they're wrong, but you build it up so that you don't mm-hmm. lose them in the process. So, you know, obviously Jesus did this, and that's where we're getting our example from. So that's kind of the idea of discipleship. We'd love to hear if you guys have any other ideas or things that you can think of that a disciple should be doing mm-hmm. or a discipler, disciple maker should be doing. We'd love to hear from you. And as we get ready to wrap this up.
Well, I was just going to say, if you have someone in your life who discipled you, let us know like what they did, and maybe a testimony of what were your struggles and where they challenged you and helped you grow. I would love to hear someone's testimony of after they were saved and in their walk. If someone actually came beside you and invested in you like that.
Yeah. And just kind of had the thought as you were kind of talking about that, if you aren't actively like discipling somebody right now, I think you should seek it out. You know, if you have children or something, then there's a discipleship opportunity. But if you don't, I think you can't, you shouldn't just be a Christian on an island. If you've got this knowledge in your brain, you should be like Jesus. You should be out seeking people that you can teach and lead. So I don't know what that looks like in your life or in my life, but it should be something that we are looking for, not just waiting to happen to us. You know, it could be a Bible study or a small group. You know, that's kind of the hotness in church right now is small groups. And those aren't necessarily discipleship opportunities, but you can make it a discipleship opportunity.
That's true. You'll meet other people.
Yeah. So don't just sit by and wait for someone to come to you. You know, if you're not discipling now, you should be actively looking for somebody to disciple and help grow. There's a whole world of lost and dying people that are.
Like if you're lonely, you go to church and you don't really know anybody, just pray, ask God to show you and to make a way to find someone who you can pour into. If you know the way to go, there's a bunch of people in church who are still lost, who don't have someone to say, follow me.
Definitely. So stick around for Friday where we kind of look at this from the discipled point of view. And otherwise, that's all we got for you guys today. We love you. God bless.